as we prepare our hearts to worship this morning, hear these words from Psalm 96. And this comes from the Message version. Sing God a brand new song. Earth and everyone in it, sing. Sing to God, worship God. Shout the news of his victory from sea to sea. Take the news of his glory to the lost. News of his wonders to one and all. For God is great and worth a thousand hallelujahs. His terrible beauty makes the gods look cheap. Pagan gods are mere tatters and rags. God made the heavens. Royal splendor radiates from him. A powerful beauty sets him apart. Bravo, God, bravo. Everyone join in the great shout, encore. In awe before the beauty, in awe before the might. Bring gifts and celebrate. Bow before the beauty of God. Then to your knees, everyone worship. Get out the message, God rules. He put the world on a firm foundation. He treats everyone fair and square. Let's hear it from sky with earth joining in, and a huge round of applause from sea. Let wilderness turn cartwheels. Animals come dance. Put every tree of the forest in the choir. An extravaganza before God as he comes. As he comes to set everything right on earth. Set everything right. Treat everyone fair. Would you pray with me? Father God, this morning we do join the heavens and the seas and the trees and the animals, the wilderness, and proclaiming, bravo, God. Come, O God, the one whose beauty is too grand for us to even catch a glimpse of. The one whose heart is so good, all we can do is humbly receive from it. We worship you today, O God. Would you be lifted high in this place? No matter what our weeks held for us, you are worthy of our full attention. You are captivating, O God, bigger than our circumstances. Bigger than ourselves. And so would you be the audience of one in this place today? Would you have our hearts? Would you have your way? For you alone are worthy. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you will open your Bibles to Luke chapter 7, we continue on in our relationship series. People that we all must have in our lives to grow into the fullness of who God would have us to be. It's been a fun series so far, and we press on today getting to know a couple people. One of them is Joanna. Luke chapter 7, verse 36 through 38. Then we're going to jump to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 7, verse 36. One of the Pharisees asked Jesus to eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and took his place at the table. And a woman in the city, who was a sinner, having learned that he was eating in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster jar of ointment. She stood behind him at his feet, weeping, and began to bathe his feet with her tears and to dry them with her hair. Then she continued kissing his feet and anointing them with the ointment. And then down to Luke chapter 8. Soon afterwards, he went on through cities and villages, proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, as well as some women who had been cured of evil spirits and infirmities. Mary, called the Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out, and Joanna, the wife of Herod's steward Chusa, and Susanna, and many others, who provided for him out of their resources. Would you pray with me? Father God, now as we turn to your word, we ask for your spirit to move freely in this place and in our hearts. Lord, would you help us hear what it is you would have us to hear, so you might help us be who it is you'd have us to be, And so you might help us do what it is you would have us to do. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Any of you guys watch The Big Bang Theory? Yeah? It's good, huh? There's this one episode that's an awesome episode. It's a Christmas episode. And in it, Sheldon gets word that his friend Penny is going to buy him a gift. And rather than bring Sheldon joy, this totally stresses him out. If you know the character Sheldon Cooper, you know that everything in his world has to be measurable, has to make sense. He's this absolute genius who absolutely stinks at relationships. And so the entire episode, Sheldon is stressing about having a gift for Penny that will be of equal value to the gift that she has for him. And he has no idea what she's getting him. And so to be safe, he goes out and he just buys a whole bunch of gifts. He gets some really cheap ones and some really expensive ones, and he leaves the price tags on every one of them. And the plan is that he's going to put all these gifts back in his room, and when Penny comes and gives him her gift, he'll open it and then excuse himself and step in his room and pick out the gift that most appropriately equals her gift, and then take the rest back for a refund. It's a good idea. So Penny comes and she's bearing Sheldon's gift. Any of you seen this episode? You got to watch it. I'll show you. All right. So good. And he opens it, and it's just a napkin. But it's not just any napkin. It was used by Sheldon's hero, Leonard Nimoy, Spock from Star Trek. And it was autographed, "Dear Sheldon, live long and prosper." And Penny says, "I'm sorry the napkin's dirty. He wiped his mouth with it." She's a waitress. And Sheldon just loses his mind. He says, "I possess in my hands the DNA of Leonard Nimoy." He says, "Do you realize what this means? All I need is a healthy ovum and I can grow my very own Leonard Nimoy." His eyes get big and he says, "Penny, I'll be right back." And off to his bedroom he goes. And when he returns, he has all 10 of those gifts for Penny. And he just throws them before her. And she says, "Sheldon, what have you done?" And he says, "I know." He says, "It's not enough, is it?" And then he runs over and gives her this really awkward Sheldon hug. And if you know Sheldon Cooper, you know that he never touches anyone. But in this tender moment, he realizes that not all gifts are quantifiable, and that giving and receiving is about so much more than receipts balancing out. Giving and receiving, they're necessary parts of healthy relationships. And Sheldon wasn't very good at either one, giving or receiving. And truth is, most of us struggle with one or the other as well. But to be who God calls us to be, we've got to have people in our lives who help us grow into both of these things, to be humble receivers and generous givers. The relationships we'll look at this week and then next week focus on these two things. This week, Joannas, the folks in our lives who help us receive well. The next week, we'll look at Lazaruses, the folks who help us to give. So today's question, who is your Joanna? Have you ever noticed how comfortable Jesus was with receiving? It's baffling to me when I think about it. Here we got the God of the universe walking among us, happy to let others take care of him. You know, it's a big enough deal that he simply chose to come to earth as an infant, unable to feed himself, unable to change himself, unable to sit up on his very own. The God of the universe entered this world absolutely relying on his creation to keep him alive. But even whenever he becomes an adult and is full-fledged into his ministry, going around telling people the big secret, I'm the Messiah, I am the sent one from God, Jesus is still quite comfortable receiving. Just think about it. Think of all the meals that Jesus ate in homes as he traveled along. And you know, I can't think of a single one where he was the host, where he cooked the food. The hillside doesn't count. That wasn't in a home. Over and over, people invited Jesus in, and he just gladly accepted their invitations. Women emptied out their cupboards to host him, and he ate until he was full. Jesus was comfortable receiving. When I served as a missionary in Jordan one summer, I was working in a Palestinian refugee camp. And every evening for that entire summer, we would accept invitations to come into someone's home and to eat with them. Now, these refugees, they lived in these crumbling cement buildings, homes just piled up on top of each other. You would go in and there was hardly any furniture at all. The cupboards were hardly full. These folks had only ever known poverty, just barely getting by. And yet, every single time, whenever I'd visit in every single home, the folks there would make sure that everything in their pantry was cooked up and spread out before me. All they had in their possession to serve me. And it made me so uncomfortable. Knowing that this was all the food that they had to feed their family for that entire week. And I had money in my pocket where if I was still hungry after, I could buy McDonald's on the way home. No big deal. I hated that they were making such a sacrifice for me when I knew I didn't even really need it. Until the host missionary told me when I said, it just makes me so uncomfortable. She said, Jamie, you don't get it. She said, you coming to their home and sharing this feast with them, it brings them this great deal of honor. She said, their hearts need to know that they cared for you well when you were in their midst. If you refuse to eat, it offends them, it hurts them. They've got to know that they gave you the very best they had to give, and you honor them when you simply receive their gift humbly and gratefully, and feast with them. That summer, I began to learn a little something about humbly receiving, about letting my needs be met so another might be honored in their care for me. Jesus loved honoring folks by receiving from their table. Think of how often we see him just enjoying a meal with whoever it is that might serve him. Jesus received meals from others, and Jesus received money too. You noticed that before? Did God incarnate, the one over all, did he really need our money to get his work done on this earth? No, not if he didn't want to do it that way. But he chose to let the financial gifts of others move his mission ahead. Luke tells us Joanna, Susanna, and many other women provided for Jesus out of their resources. These ladies, they footed the bill for Jesus' travels. He didn't need that. He let it happen. Jesus could have so easily been just proud and told these ladies that, you know, he didn't need their money. He could take care of it himself, thank you very much. I mean, he could catch a fish with a gold coin in its mouth if he wanted. He didn't need them. But Jesus was a gracious receiver. And these women, they'd been blessed. And they wanted to simply pour these blessings into someone they believed in, into something bigger than themselves. And Jesus wasn't going to dare stand in the way of that. They'd be going along on their trip, I imagine, and it'd be lunchtime, and they'd hand over some change to buy some sandwiches. And Jesus, rather than say, you know, I could make that stone turn into bread, he'd just say, thank you, and receive it. They'd pay for the doctor to check out a disciple when he was under the weather, and the one who could heal them on his very own humbly received their gift. Jesus had people, Joannas, Susannas, who invited him to receive. And if God and flesh needed those kinds of people in his life, I think it's safe to say that we do too. Who helps you humbly receive? Who's your Joanna? It's hard to accept someone else's money, isn't it? Some of my dearest friends, ever so often, when I least expect it, they send me a check in the mail for an incredibly generous amount of money. I always need it, but I don't like admitting it. And it usually just has this simple note: Jamie, we believe in what God's doing in your life, and it gives us joy to get to share in it with you. We know you've been working hard. Use this cash to do something fun for yourself, to take a rest, so you can keep on keeping on. And they'll say, thank you for letting us share with you. And every time they send it, I immediately have this great sense of awkwardness come over me about what am I supposed to do in response. I call to say thank you, and it just feels so lacking. I tell my friend on the phone, you know, one day when my car is paid off and my school's paid off, I'll pay you back. She gets annoyed with that. And she says, we're not keeping tabs. She says, this isn't a loan, Jamie. This is a gift. Could you just receive it? And I tell her, you know, I can afford a vacation if I want. I'm an adult. I can take care of myself. I know, she says. Please, just receive it. It blesses our hearts to get to share. Would you just receive it? She's my Joanna. And I realize through her that I stink at following Jesus' example of receiving well. But one check at a time, I see that I'm pushing back a little less and a little less, humbly receiving a little more and a little more. And you know, I realize when I do, it makes gifts more fun for both of us. When I just gratefully receive. Who's teaching you to be a humble receiver? Whose heart do you bless by taking what they offer and just saying, wow, thank you so much? Who's your Joanna? You gotta have one. Not only did Jesus receive meals and money, he was also quite comfortable receiving honor. You notice that? While he's at one of those meals as a guest, this woman comes in and she's identified only as a sinner. And that means she's gotten into some trouble. Lots of it, probably. And she brings with her this jar of costly ointment and she begins to anoint Jesus. She washes his feet with her tears and she wipes them with her hair and she kisses his feet over and over and over again. When the host of the meal gets upset because she's ruining his dinner party and making a spectacle, Jesus says, don't you see what she's doing? She's worshiping me. She's naming who I am. She's lifting up my honor. She's giving me attention and glory. She's revering me in this place. And I gladly accept her gift. Jesus didn't stop this lady in her tracks and say, oh, stop making such a fuss over me. I'm not that big of a deal. Or, oh, save that oil for something else. I'm not worth it. No, she has come to honor him. And Jesus gladly receives her gift. Now, this is Jesus after all. And he is worthy of all the honor and all the glory and all the praise. And I'm not saying that we should go around basking in that ourselves. But also do hear this. This same Jesus, he actually does really live in you. And by his Spirit, he actually has given you unique reflections of his goodness and his creativity and his beauty that shines through you in a way that doesn't shine through anybody else. And when someone sees the gifts that Jesus has put in you, and they honor you by recognizing those gifts, don't immediately shoot down their affirmation. Don't send them away saying, it's not that big of a deal. Nah, I don't really have that in me. Nah, you should see me when I'm at home or at work. You should see that side of me. That's not who I really am. Don't do that. When you do that, what you're doing is you're downplaying the fingerprints of God that are all over you. And you're acting like it's not a big deal. The living God showing his goodness through you. When they honor you, don't shoot them down. Don't do that. Instead, when someone wants to honor and lift high the Jesus that shows himself through you, let them. That's hard. It's a chance for their heart to acknowledge what's good in a world that loves to point out what's bad. And it's a chance for you to say, thank you. Jesus is really something, isn't he? Boy, he's been good to me, hasn't he? Amen. Jesus received the gift of honor, of another unveiling God's uniqueness in him. Who in your life points out the unique ways that Jesus shows up in you? And even if you're awkward about it, they keep honoring you in that place anyway. Who's your unnamed lady with the jar of oil? Who's helping you learn how to receive? We've got to have that person in our corner, walking this earth with us. Truth is, most of us grown-ups are way better at giving than receiving. Kids are the opposite. They don't seem to have a problem taking anything from you that you're willing to give them without feeling the least bit guilty of it or unworthy. They don't care. And you know, I think kids' ability to just find this great joy in receiving is one of the many reasons that Jesus just really loved them. Because he could just pour his grace upon them. And they were like, thanks, I'll take it. Because if we can't humbly receive, what are we to do with a God that we can only approach through the gift of grace? Being a good receiver isn't an option. It's a prerequisite for life with God. And at some point, the world tells us that we just need to move past this joy of receiving stuff. That we need to grow up and take care of ourselves on our own already. At some point in our lives, I don't really know when, all of a sudden, receiving becomes a sign of weakness. And it makes us uncomfortable. To become like Jesus, us self-sufficient grown-ups desperately need some Joannas, folks who help us remember what we once knew, how to just humbly, gratefully receive. You know, it's hard for me too, receiving. When the team from Waco came up in June and they were asking me, what are some things we can do around the church that you just can't get to on your own? It was hard enough for me to name that. Things that I can't fix and make work by myself in this place. But I mustered up some stuff. And then around the end of the week, when they had wrapped up their projects around here, one of the ladies that was staying in my house, she asked me if she could help me around my house, organizing my pantries. No, I said. I said, I will do that myself. All of a sudden, things got a little bit too close, a little bit too personal. That was something in my own life that I should have under control. I don't, but I should. I've got like four things of cinnamons. I just keep buying them because I can't find them. I wasn't comfortable receiving, even when I was fully aware of the problem. Not when it came to my very own house. I need Joanna's as much as anyone. And you know, the very next week, as God would have it, because God likes to mess with me, I was in England for school, and one day, the very first day, my mentor was talking about how hard it is for him to receive. And he said, you know, we've made this receiving thing into like this holy problem. Like we think it's a really good thing if we have a hard time receiving. And he totally turned that upside down for me. He said, being a good receiver or being a bad receiver is actually the very worst thing you can be. And he said, you know why? He said, because if you're a bad receiver, it means you have a God complex. He said, and he's talking about himself too, so he's not just a mean man. He said, it means if you just want to give and never receive, you're playing God with your life. Always wanting the upper hand. Always wanting to be the fixer, the healer, the helper. Never the one in need. Never the weak one. Never the vulnerable. Bad receivers. It's not a holy calling. It's a God complex. Let's name it for what it is. And as he said it, I heard Melissa from Waco in my kitchen saying, hey, I've got some time today. Would you like me to organize your pantries? And my quick response, no, I don't want you to do that. I'll take care of that myself. I don't need your help making my world function better. My world is just fine. You can help the church down there, but not my personal world up here. I will be in control of that. God complex. I need Joanna as much as anyone. And because I didn't recognize it then, every time I open my pantry doors and can't find what I'm looking for, I hear it. Jamie, got any Joannas in your life? Let them in. You love to give. You're comfortable in that place of power. Let's learn to receive. Let's learn to stand in that place of grace. I wonder this morning, what made Jesus so darn good at receiving? How did he do it? How did he overcome the temptation to tell those ladies he didn't need their money? To tell those dinner hosts that he could turn stones into bread, you know? He didn't need their food. How did he overcome the temptation not to tell that sinful woman that he could call down angels in a moment to show themselves and worship him? He didn't need her embarrassing spectacle. And how did he instead just humbly receive the gifts he was given, however they came, from whomever they came? How did he do that? Been thinking about it all week. But you know, I think it comes down to one thing. One thing. We can say many, but I think it comes down to one. I think Jesus was able to receive because when it came down to it, Jesus cared more about intimacy than control. And he cared more about being with people than being over and above them. And he cared more about being loved than needed. Jesus simply loved being with his people. Not over them, just with them. When we give and we give and rarely receive, if we're going to be honest, it's likely we live over and above people rather than beside them. Jesus could have, should have had the highest seat at any table. He could have pre-requested the finest fare and made a big deal about covering the tab for everyone to dine with him. Get whatever you want, dessert and all. But he didn't. Every meal, he seems to just come in and take his place with others. And he just eats what's served. Simply enjoys being with his people. Jesus cared more about being with than being above. Jesus cared more about people than about power. Sometimes we way outgive our receiving because we're hungry for power. Amen. But usually, it's that we're actually not just hungry for power. It's more because we are scared to death of intimacy. We give and we give because we need people to need us. Because if they don't need us, then they won't stick with us, we think. But if we dare stop this one-sidedness and somehow let ourselves be as needy in the presence of others as we are generous, it gets vulnerable. If they don't need us, will they stick with us just because they want us? If they don't need us, even more, if we need something from them, will they ditch us? Because now we're more trouble than we're worth. You see, Jesus wanted more than to be needed. Jesus wanted to be wanted. To be loved. He knew if he was only ever giving, they would just stick with him because they needed him. More of that bread, Jesus, please. More of those healings, Jesus, please. We're here because we need you, Jesus. But when the all-powerful God of the universe chose over and over and over again to humbly receive, Jesus was saying, I don't just want to show you what I can do for you. I actually want to be with you. I'm not just here to dish out what I have to you. I'm here to love you and to be loved by you. If we love to give, but we get so uncomfortable when it's time to receive, could it be? That we are terrified of the vulnerability of intimacy. Scared that if we don't stay over people, that if we don't give people a good reason to stick with us, they all might leave us. It's incredibly vulnerable to not just be the giver, to see if folks will remain with you just because they want to be with you. Just because they love you. When Jesus refused to give folks what they wanted and asked them to be with him, even when things got hard, you know what happened? Hordes of them walked away. Hordes. It happens. The vulnerability, the fear, it's real. Hordes do walk away when they no longer need you. And you know what? Jesus' heart broke to see those who only ever wanted him because they needed something from him. But you know what else? Jesus' heart rejoiced because he finally got to see who actually remained. Though they were few, Jesus knew this was the real deal. These were the ones who really, truly just loved him. When we learn to receive, to be with, and not just over and above, to meet needs and to have needs, then we will finally see just how loved we really are. You won't know until you try it. Your Joannas are glad to know your needs and share their gifts for them. Your Joannas, they're honored to partner in your heart's work with you. They're simply blessed to help you along in this journey of life. They're totally aware you can't do it alone, and they don't expect you to. Your Joannas eagerly give to you, not because they have to, but just because they love you and they want to share life with you. Who's your Joanna? Who's teaching you that it is good and freeing to receive. Who's asking you to take your seat at the table, not as the host, but as one of the folks, there to receive like all the rest? Who's your Joanna that tells you you're loved and you're wanted, even when you haven't a thing to give? Jesus needed a Joanna. If he did, we do too. Who's yours? Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, thank you that though you could have come to this earth only showing how powerful and over and above us you are, you chose to come as one with open hands and an open heart, humbly receiving any gift that came your way. Father, forgive us for the ways that we've internalized the lies that we are more valuable when we do more for others. The lies that tell us our worth is found in being needed. And those lies that keep us over people, but not with people. And Lord Jesus, help us this week find our seat at the table, whatever that might look like. Be a people who are willing to receive help, willing to receive gifts that we may not even need, willing to lay our egos down and simply say, we don't want to do this alone. We can't do it alone. Father, open our eyes to see the gifts that are all around us that are coming our way. And before we shut them down, teach us to simply say thank you. Isn't God kind? Grow in us hearts that are able to receive. For God, we cannot know you apart from receiving your grace. Help us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.